Welcome to the June 25th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. Bitcoin reached a new 2019 high of $11,470 at 7 a.m. Eastern Time this morning. That is 270% above the bear market low of $3,100 in December. It seems like there is some resistance at $11,500 though, so Bitcoin was pushed back. And right now, Bitcoin's trading near $11,350. And based on the Bitstamp order book dev chart, there is support at $11,100, but maybe even as high as $11,300. So the theme of the past couple of days has been a rising support level. So several days ago, like over the weekend when Bitcoin first broke through 10,000, it found support near $10,400. And since then, the support has risen to over $11,000 as the buy pressure increases. And it is definitely significant that Bitcoin has broken through $11,300 because that was the top of the resistance level over the weekend. So when Bitcoin first broke through 10,000, it went up to like 11,200 and got stopped out. That happened again on Sunday and then on Monday. But basically overnight, Bitcoin finally pushed up through that resistance to the new 2019 highs. And now we're looking at $11,500 as the next barrier to break to continue the bull run. And looking at the one-week chart, Bitcoin has been on a solid uptrend. It was paused for a little bit over the weekend, like on Saturday and Sunday, Bitcoin kind of went sideways and volatile. But if you draw a line through all the volatility for the week, Bitcoin's been going up pretty steadily over the past week. And of course, looking at the past month, Bitcoin's been going up steadily as well. So it seems like the bull run is continuing for Bitcoin. Just a solid uptrend for the past several months now, actually, with a few pauses in between, but mostly up. And this most recent push through resistance at $11,300 has caused Bitcoin's market cap to go above $200 billion. Now it's at $202 billion. Still, to put that in perspective, though, that's $0.2 trillion, and there's tens of trillions of dollars in the stock markets and bond markets. So there's plenty of money in the global economy that even if a little fraction of that was diversified into Bitcoin, we could see the biggest Bitcoin rally ever. I think we're seeing a little of that now. Like, for example, the total crypto market cap is at a new 2019 high. This morning it hit $339 billion. That's up $239 billion since the bear market low of $100 billion in December. So that means something like over $200 billion was invested into the crypto market since December. And that's a lot, but there's way more money than that floating around in the global stock and bond markets. And I think what will really take Bitcoin to a new all-time high is if the stock market starts to crash, goes into a recession. And there's lots of indicators suggesting there will be a stock market economic recession sometime soon, within about a year. Like, the bond yield curve inverted multiple times in the past several months, which indicates that people are rushing into longer-term bonds as a safe haven. And also trade data is weakening, manufacturing data is weakening, and the debt bubble is worse than ever before in history. Basically, the economy's been running on free money since like 2008. So when that 2008 Great Recession hit, the governments printed lots of money, and they also lowered their like interest rates to like almost zero. So the corporations and banks have been kind of living off free money through now. And in fact, that's been the whole debate in the stock market was the Fed funds rate. So they raised the Fed funds rate to like 2.25%, which is still below the inflation rate. And that means it's still kind of free money. So if the Fed funds rate is like equal to the inflation rate, it's pretty much free money anyways. But as the Fed funds rate actually approached the inflation rate, which means money wouldn't have been free at some point in the future, the stock market started to freak out and crash. And now the Federal Reserve is talking about cutting the Fed funds rate and making the money even more free now. So just like if there wasn't free money to go around from like free loans and free money for banks and corporations, the stock market would be outright crashing or already crashed right now. So it's obviously very shaky in the global economy. And what the bond yield curve inversion is like 100% of the time an indicator there's going to be a recession in about a year after it inverts. Well, the inversion happened several months ago already. So we're talking less than a year now till a big stock crash pretty much. And right now the stock market's actually at its highs, so that's interesting to think about. So the Dow Jones is near its like resistance level, the all-time resistance level of 27,000 points. And so stock investors that are particularly savvy might be looking at this and be like, okay, the Dow Jones is kind of crawling right now. It can't really get past this resistance. This is as high it's going to get. Maybe it's a good time to go into Bitcoin. And that's why I think like the crypto market is absolutely spring-loaded right now for like the biggest rally ever, actually. Because the stock market is at like its all-time highs, and Bitcoin is still at a 2019 high. And if the stock market goes down from here, which is like very likely, it's unlikely it will go up, the stock market. So yeah, if the stock market starts to go down, like all the data indicates it should, like Bitcoin is poised for a tremendous rally. So that's something very interesting to watch. So I'm monitoring the stock market closely. In fact, the movements we're seeing this morning where Bitcoin has gone past its resistance at about $11,200 to $11,300, it seems like it was caused by a couple of things. Well, so the United States put heavy sanctions on Iran, particularly focusing on Iran's supreme leader. And Iran stated that there's no way they're ever going to talk to the United States anymore. Like, diplomatic channels are closed now. And that caused people to rush into bonds. So the bond rates lowered this morning and the stocks are looking weak. Right now, the futures for the Dow Jones are like not that far down, but they're down a little bit. And it seems like some stock weakness across the globe and these increasing Iran tensions, even though this morning there wasn't like any bombs going off or anything, but just like the new sanctions plus people rushing into longer term bonds as a safe haven plus stocks looking kind of weak because they're worried about a war, that seems to have maybe led to Bitcoin's little price rise overnight. Well, breaking market update. So sometimes as I'm doing this show in the morning or writing the market analysis for crypto.iq in the evening, the Bitcoin market makes a big move. And I call this being a crypto rodeo cowboy. So Bitcoin just went down as low as 11,100. So it seems like that Bitstamp order book dev chart was very accurate in showing the support level. There was just a lot of sell pressure that came out of nowhere, but that happens. Like a whale probably dumped some coins, or maybe Bitcoin's price went down a little bit too much and liquidated a bunch of long positions. But anyways, Bitcoin crashed. Like, it's not really a crash, but it was like a pretty fast drop from 11,350 down to 11,000, actually 60. So, and now Bitcoin is stabilizing at this exact moment, just over $11,100. So it seems like that support at $11,100 is held. And Bitcoin's still looking to maybe test that resistance at $11,500, but it's going to have to go back through $11,300 now too, because that was the resistance level until like this morning when it broke through it. But it seems like it got pulled back down below that resistance level just now. And this isn't out of the usual for Bitcoin. There's volatility like this all the time. In fact, almost every day now we've been seeing price drops of like $200 to $300 randomly. But still, draw trend through all this volatility, Bitcoin is generally going up. Even with this fast price drop this morning, it's still looking way up on the week. And it's barely even a blip, actually, when it went from 11,500 down to 11,100. And now Bitcoin's trading near $11,200. So that shows the strong buy support in this market, actually, that it dropped from like 11,500 to 11,060, and now it's coming right back up to 11,200 as I speak. In fact, these little dips seem to be buying opportunities for the traders on the markets. Now for the rest of the crypto market analysis. So the altcoin market, the other major cryptocurrencies are mixed, but generally in the red actually this morning, but fairly mixed actually. There's several in the green. And the Bitcoin dominance percentage has risen to 60%, so that's the highest we've seen it, I believe, in 2019 so far. And that's up about 5% in a couple weeks. So over the past couple weeks, Bitcoin's gained 5% relative to the rest of the crypto market, continuing the trend of people want Bitcoin more than they want any other major crypto, especially because if institutions are buying crypto, they're probably just buying Bitcoin. So here's the market analysis. Ethereum is up 0.4% near $310 compared to Bitcoin is up 4% even after that little drop we just saw. Ripple is down 0.2%. Bitcoin Cash is down 0.6% near $469. Litecoin is down 2.3% near $132. EOS is down 1%. Binance Coin down 1.5% near $36.50. Bitcoin SV down 0.7%. Tron is down 0.5%. Cardano is down 2.9%. Stellar down 1%. Monero up 0.8%, trading near $116. Bitfinex's LEO tokens up 2.5% near $1.90. Dash is up 1.6% near $178. NEO is up 0.5%. Cosmos down 1.5%. IOTA down 0.8%. Ethereum Classic down 1.7%. Zcash down 1.4%. And Dogecoin is down 0.5%. And I also want to mention Burstcoin. I generally don't mention Burstcoin on the market analysis, but I've always thought it's actually one of the best cryptocurrencies. So it uses proof of capacity as its mining algorithm, which basically means people mine it with their hard drive. Not any specialized mining equipment, they can just use their hard drive. And it's like the only cryptocurrency really where you can actually profitably mine it on your own personal computer. So with other cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and even Litecoin and Dogecoin, you need specialized mining rigs called ASICs, application-specific integrated circuits, to mine them. And they use lots of electricity and stuff. And some ASICs don't even work for Bitcoin or Dogecoin. Like, even some ASICs aren't profitable. You need, like, the best, newest ASIC to profitably mine most of the major cryptocurrencies out there. But Burstcoin, you could just mine it on your computer. You can even mine it on your phone, apparently. It uses very little electricity, so you won't make that much money. You'll make, like, maybe 1 or 2 cents a day. But still, you'll be making 1 or 2 cents a day for real, even on your personal computer with Burstcoin. So that makes it a very decentralized network. Like, there's lots of miners all across the world because you can put it on, like, any computer you want, no matter how bad the computer is or how small the computer is. You can mine Burstcoin. And Burstcoin was kind of struggling as everything else was going up a lot, actually. It wasn't going up with the rest of the market, it seemed like, but that all changed. So like 4 days ago, on Thursday, June 21st, Burstcoin was trading near 0.004 cents, so 0.4 of 1 cent, and it's up 100% in 4 days. So now it's at 0.8 of 1 cent, 0.008 cents. That has pushed its market cap up to $16.4 million. Still pretty small relatively, but it seems Burstcoin is finally getting the price action it actually deserves. Even though Burstcoin, even after this 100% rally, is ranked at only 251 on CoinMarketCap, I think it is one of the kings of cryptocurrency. So we have talked about this concept in the past of the kings of crypto. Bitcoin's obviously like the king of cryptocurrency. Then Litecoin's like the king of script cryptocurrencies. Ethereum is the king of the dApps. Monero's the king of stealth. Dash is the king of masternodes, etc., etc. And then Burstcoin is the king of proof of capacity. It's a truly unique cryptocurrency that I think will gain more relative to other cryptocurrencies. So as the crypto market rallies into this bull market, I think Burstcoin has a chance at gaining more than other cryptocurrencies and rising up on the coin market cap list. So Burstcoin's something to watch, and once again, it's up 100% in the past 4 days. So that concludes the market analysis for this morning. Basically, just to sum up, Bitcoin is gaining more than the other cryptos, but still the total crypto market cap and Bitcoin are both near their 2019 highs, with the total crypto market cap at $333 billion, just below its 2019 high of $339 billion earlier this morning. And Bitcoin is trading near $11,200, even after a nice bout of sell pressure. Bitcoin seems to have like quickly just stabilized and it's trying to go back up again. So that shows the bullishness in this market. There's lots of buy pressure coming from all around the world. Moving on to the first story of the day. So Facebook is trying to launch their Libra cryptocurrency. It's a quite centralized cryptocurrency. It is technically a cryptocurrency, but it's going to be reversible. They can freeze accounts. And it's going to be run by 100 nodes that are basically major corporations. So each major corporation that's running a node on the Libra network is paying $10 million for the right to be a node. And they're the ones that can change the blockchain rules and make decisions and freeze and reverse stuff. So it's quite centralized, kind of like a dystopian nightmare version of a cryptocurrency. But in another sense, it's actually quite big news because it's the first time corporations have ever tried to launch their own currency. So it's kind of like a currency of the corporate world run by Facebook and 99 other corporations. And it would be right there competing with like the US dollar and the euro and stuff. It's not going to be pegged to the US dollar. They're going to use a basket of other global currencies and also securities and stuff. So no one knows exactly how much the Libra would be worth if it launches. So that's the story of today. But yeah, it's kind of like the first time corporations have tried to make their own sovereign corporate currency for the world. And that threatens the power of the United States and all the other governments and central banks of the world. They're kind of fearful that this will take away some of their power, because most of the power of the United States and other countries is derived from them running their own currencies. So that's where they get their power. And they don't want Facebook and these 99 other corporations launching a corporate currency to compete with that. So we had Representative Maxine Waters, who's the chair of the U.S. House Financial Services Committee, she already announced that she wants a moratorium on Libra's development. Like, they want Libra to completely stop their development until U.S. regulators can, like, completely investigate this and give them the regulations even before they get a chance to even start launching. So this is happening quickly, actually. So the United States House, which is a branch of Congress, is going to have a hearing for Facebook's Libra cryptocurrency on July 17th. So that's coming in a few weeks now, and that's probably going to be some pretty big news coming out of there as we see the United States government go up against Libra. So, like I said, the U.S. government generally doesn't want a corporation to launch their own global currency, and it's kind of like a threat to fiat currencies. So, yeah, they want a moratorium on Libra, and we're going to see what happens on July 17th. Libra is slated to launch in early 2020 if everything goes well, but it seems like regulators are already getting, like, really aggressive. And the biggest problem with Libra, its biggest failure, is that it's centralized. So that's what Facebook wants anyways. They want to be able to control their global currency. But that's its biggest weakness. So Bitcoin would have already been outlawed and made illegal if it was centralized, and it would have been shut down, basically. So Bitcoin's so decentralized, the government can't shut it down. So the government has to work with Bitcoin. They accept Bitcoin exists and they can't stop it. But Libra is centralized. Like, its network is literally going to be centralized. So government regulators all around the world get to chime in and make the regulations. And also, they get to ban Libra if they want to. So Libra is not going to be able to operate anywhere where the government doesn't approve it. And the government, like, let's say the United States really doesn't like Libra. They could just totally shut it down because Facebook is based in the United States. So the fact that Libra is centralized casts doubt on whether Libra will ever even launch. So we'll see what happens. Moving on to the next story. Apparently a couple of suspects have been arrested in relation to the 2016 Bitfinex hack. So almost 120,000 Bitcoins were stolen in that 2016 hack of Bitfinex. And apparently these Israeli brothers, Eli and Asaf, might be involved with it. Nothing's been ruled yet. But anyways, so apparently Eli is a former computer science expert in the Israeli Defense Forces. So his job in the Israeli Defense Forces was hacking, spying, and creating computer viruses. And some of the most powerful computer viruses in the world, he like actually created them when he worked for the Israeli Defense Forces. And then he went on to go hack Bitcoin exchanges. And he already said in court, "I was wrong. I came from a bad place. I'm a good boy, and I'm sorry. I'm willing to cooperate." So it seems like he's admitting guilt to this already. And yeah, so it took years to find the people who did this. But apparently, like earlier this month, some of the stolen Bitcoin from that 2016 Bitfinex hack started moving around. And that's kind of what happened. So let's say a hacker is going to wait long term for Bitcoin to go up. Well, Bitcoin has gone up a lot. So those 120,000 Bitcoins are worth like a ridiculous amount of money now. And I guess they started to move them. And then the people that stole it, and there's not a guarantee that these are the only guys involved in that hack. There's no confirmation of that, but they got arrested and they are likely related to this major 2016 Bitfinex hack. Moving on to the next story. Apparently 98% of the activity on the Bitcoin SV blockchain is due to a single app, and it's a weather app. So it's called weathersv.com, and I actually think it's kind of interesting. Even though some other people are calling this like ridiculous, why would this be needed? So I'll just read what it says. It says, "Welcome to Weather SV. This site demonstrates the ability to index and retrieve climate data immutably stored on a distributed ledger." And so basically what it is like a channel is open for each particular city on the map. And right now there's like 2,660 active channels, and it like covers the entire world pretty much, besides some very like remote rural areas in the middle of nowhere in like the tundra. But yeah, it's like covering the whole world with weather data right now. And apparently it costs like $5 for like 100 days. So if someone wants the weather for their city to be archived on WeatherSV, they pay like $5 and they get 100 days of data. And then there's options for someone, like let's say someone from the same city goes to WeatherSV, they could like deposit some money and keep it going for that city. And basically the point is they're storing weather data immutably on the Bitcoin SV chain. I think it's interesting probably just because I was a meteorologist first before I became a Bitcoin expert. But yeah, it's not really necessary because the National Weather Service and other global climate data services store all of this data anyways, and it's probably not ever going to be lost. But Weather SV, I guess, is a backup in case of, like, a total nuclear war. We would still have all the weather and climate data stored up or something like that. And, well, the story of the day related to crypto is that it's 98% of all the Bitcoin SV blockchain activity. So, Weather SV in the past month alone apparently has had 1.23 million, like, blockchain actions. So this one weather app, Weather SV, has had 1.23 million, like, blockchain transactions, basically. And that's 98% of Bitcoin SV's entire blockchain activity. So it seems like Bitcoin SV hasn't had much adoption. There are people speculating on it. It has gained a lot of value in the past month or two. But it seems like the other dApps on it are very small. But there's this one dApp, Weather SV, that's actually... It seems like it's being used a lot. And I actually thought the weather data on it, like the charts and stuff, were pretty good, even compared to the National Weather Service. And apparently it stores it forever on the Bitcoin SV chain, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, 98% of Bitcoin SV's entire blockchain activity is due to a single weather app. The reason this is even possible is because Bitcoin SV, the reason it was created is because they wanted to have, like, the biggest block sizes. It started with the Bitcoin Cash fork, so there was a big block size debate, and Bitcoin decided to just do segregated witness and keep their block size limit at, like, 1 megabyte, and segregated witness increased it to, like, 1.3 megabytes. But the Bitcoin Cash community disagreed with segregated witness, and they went ahead and did a block size limit increase. So I believe Bitcoin Cash started at 8 megabytes, and now they're at, like, 32 megabytes, which is way more than necessary. Bitcoin Cash doesn't even use that full. Like, they don't even use a couple megabytes. Maybe it's very rare they get a block that's over 2 megabytes, so it was kind of unnecessary in the first place. Then Bitcoin SV took it even further, and they did 128 megabyte block sizes. So that's why you could create an app on the Bitcoin SV chain and store all the weather data in the world on it, because there's plenty of spare room in the blocks. So the transaction fees are permanently quite low on the Bitcoin SV network. And yeah, so you can use OP return. So Bitcoin has OP return too. OP return is a way of sending a transaction. And I've actually done this in the past. Like, you can code up your own transaction and store data in it. And you can actually create all sorts of technology. You could even create, like, a decentralized forum by coding up OP return to, like, store messages in it. And in this case, they're using the Bitcoin SV blockchain with OP return to store weather data. It's an interesting use case. It's unnecessary, like I said, like, the National Weather Service already stores all this stuff, but hey, if it doesn't cost that much and people want to store it on a blockchain, I guess why not? I'm not going to shoot it down, but it's interesting to know that weather data is, like, 98% of the Bitcoin SV blockchain. Moving on to the final story of the day. So Binance launched its margin trading maybe, like, a month ago. People in the United States were excited about this because Binance was, like, the biggest and best exchange to use, with no identity at all. So they had, like, no identity verification, and you could still trade, like, many thousands of dollars of cryptocurrency on there, even, like, tens of thousands of dollars, and you could withdraw, like, one or two bitcoins per day. But yeah, they kicked out the United States, and before they kicked out United States users and banned everyone in the U.S., people were using Binance a lot in the United States, and they thought the margin trading would be available to United States users, so that would have made it easy for anyone to margin trade in the U.S. without an identity. That didn't happen. It's, like, way against regulations. So there's no Binance margin trading in the United States, but anyways, the story of the day is that there's been the first victim of Binance margin trading, so it's obviously someone else in another country. It's available in most of the world, just not the United States, and so this person got liquidated on Binance. So BitMEX liquidates people all day long. BitMEX is, like, the biggest crypto margin trading exchange in the world, and there's actually a Twitter called BitMEX Wrecked, and, like, literally every minute there's multiple accounts that are getting liquidated. BitMEX is probably, like, the most profitable cryptocurrency company in the world, period, by far. They're liquidating accounts, like, all the time. Well, Binance just liquidated its first account, and the reason it took this long to get a liquidation is because I believe Binance margin trading only has 2x leverage. So BitMEX has 100x leverage. That means you could have one Bitcoin and take a margin load of, like, another 99 Bitcoins or something like that. So you can get, like, 100 times more money in a margin loan than the actual Bitcoin you have, but it's very dangerous because if Bitcoin's price moves just a little bit in the opposite direction, let's say you're betting on Bitcoin going up, you're doing a long, and then Bitcoin goes down a little and you're at 100x leverage, you're probably going to get liquidated. In this case, there's only 2x leverage on Binance, but still someone got liquidated. apparently it was a short position, so someone was betting on Bitcoin's price going down, and they got liquidated even though there's only 2x leverage. It was probably one of those crashes in the past few days where Bitcoin quickly went down hundreds of dollars in minutes. But anyways, Changpeng Zhao, the CEO of Binance, said, don't bet against Bitcoin and don't bet against Binance Coin. And I don't think that's really good advice because you could just as easily get liquidated going long on Bitcoin. Like, for example, this morning we were doing the show just now in the market analysis, and yeah, it went from like $11,500 to $11,060. So people that were in long positions betting on it going up, there probably was plenty of liquidations on BitMEX at that moment. And I don't know what happened on Binance at that moment because they only have 2x. But yeah, you can get easily liquidated whether you're short or long if you end up being wrong. So it's not like you don't bet against Bitcoin. Yes, Bitcoin is going up long term. It might go up a lot more. But it's more than that. When you're margin trading, the little variations in the chart, like even if Bitcoin goes up $10,000 in one day, but it went down $1,000 at one point during the day, you could actually get liquidated on a long position. So margin trading is way more risky than just holding cryptocurrency and trading cryptocurrency itself, like spot trading. And you can get liquidated whether you're short or long. So I don't really agree with what Changpeng Zhao said, like, hey, oh, don't bet against Bitcoin. This is what happens. You lost all your money. Well, it could happen if you're betting on Bitcoin too, if you're margin trading. And just to be clear, I don't want to shoot down margin trading completely. In fact, margin trading can be very lucrative and useful if you do it right. You just got to set very small positions relative to your portfolio. You don't want to bet like 100% of your portfolio on a margin trade. And also you want to set like stop losses and constantly move your stop losses and try to like put your stop loss into profit basically. So you do small positions relative to your portfolio size and you do reasonable stop losses. So the stop loss will prevent you from getting liquidated basically. Like if Bitcoin like goes the opposite direction and you set the stop loss at a certain price, you only lose as much as you set the stop loss to. And then if you end up being wrong, you lose a little bit of your position basically, because the stop loss stops you out without your account getting liquidated. But if you're right, then you move your stop loss into the profit, and then you're guaranteed some profits, even if Bitcoin goes the opposite direction again later. So margin trading can be done. You just got to be quite skilled and careful with it. So that's all I have for you today on this June 25th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back for another exciting episode tomorrow, and also go to crypto.iq 24/7 for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join that crypto.iq trading desk. They have made over 400% profits since July. And if you join the crypto.iq trading desk, you can see their trades in real time. There's a full trade analysis with each trade just by reading that trade analysis. You will become an expert cryptocurrency trader, and you can even lay back and just follow their trades and you'll make money with their trades alone. If you just follow the trades they put out, you'll make money. They made over 400% since July, even in the worst of the bear market. And it gets even better. You can ask the Crypto.IQ traders questions in real time, and they'll answer your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert and profitable cryptocurrency trader. Also, with your Crypto.IQ trading desk membership, you get access to our monthly newsletter, Proof of Brain. And Proof of Brain has some of the most insightful content in the entire crypto space, so you definitely want to get that membership and check that out. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.